This is Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Bulls Beat is your stop for exclusive interviews, highlights, and the very latest on all sports at the University of South Florida. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
Let's start off with golf. All season long, and that began in the fall with their fantastic performances, Erica Brennan's team, along with assistant coach Dalton Stevens' team, was in a great spot as far as, unlike last year, when they returned to the NCAA tournament for the first time in more than a decade, this Bulls team was not going to have to be worried about if their name would pop up on Selection Sunday, and you love for that to be the case. And because that's the case, you know, you don't have to win the conference championship. But they want to win the conference championship, and you could tell it in their play. After round two, which was Tuesday at Southern Hills in Brooksville, the Bulls are in the lead by six shots after shooting an 11-under round, which actually, at one point late, those last few holes are tough, though, sat at 15-under for the round. Still, 11-under will hunt because outside of the Bulls and second-place Tulsa, no one else was over par on Tuesday, and only four teams are under par, and there's a big drop-off from fourth to fifth through two rounds of the American. That's why the Bulls sitting at 18-under through two rounds is so outstanding. On a day where the average score for an individual was 74.85, the Bulls did not have any individual shoot above 74. And the ironic thing is Alize Vidal shot a 74. Her score didn't count after she had the best score for the Bulls in round one of 68. Boy, is that a sign of a deep team. Really, you know about Melanie Green, and she is now inside the top 20 in college golf, just coming off playing in Augusta at the U.S. Women's Amateur there, and then leading the Bulls in Chattanooga, even though she hardly had much of a break, and now she is leading the way for the Bulls. But after yesterday's round, after the first round, it was Alize Vidal. What a great story she is. She, 2 years ago, made the NCAA tournament as an individual at Kennesaw State. Last year with the Bulls, great addition to the team, but never really broke through. She was actually fifth in scoring average. This year, coming into conference, MG, Melanie Green, scoring average just below 70, which ain't bad. That'll get you ranked top 20 nationally. And then everybody else in the starting lineup, somewhere in the 73 range, and that's what you want. You want a consistent team, and if everybody is playing well, then look out. You've got a great team, and that's what you've got this week. Now, after round one, the Bulls actually were in third place, but that was notable because they did not start well on the front nine, actually over par as a team, while other squads started on the back nine, which was playing easier. At one point early on Monday in the first round, FAU, for example, was out to a 5-under par score while the Bulls were sitting at 4-over, and you wondered, all right, they're going to turn it around. When's that going to happen? Well, it didn't take long. The back nine was blistered up by the Bulls, led by Vidal, who at one point had bogeyed three holes in a row, four through six, but eagled the seventh and birdied four on the back nine for that 4-under 68. Emma Fulcher, coming off shooting in the 80s twice in Chattanooga, well, she was in the 60s here, sitting at one over going into the 13th and birdieing four of the last six holes, including the last two, for a 3-under 69. Melanie Green herself, after two bogeys in her first six holes, did not bogey again, three birds for a 1-under 71, which for her is, again, I was about to say below par. I guess it was below par, but for her, not enough below par, and boy, did she change that on Tuesday. And then it was Alyssa Montgomery, who was 1-over 73. Leonor Morderos had a big-time struggle on the front nine with the 5-over, ended up 7-over for her second round, but talk about flushing that very quickly, and I mean real quick, thanks to Melanie Green on Tuesday. The Bulls separated from the pack. Get this, MG birdied holes 2 through 6. That's five straight, and then eagled the seventh. While that was going on, Emma Fulcher, who is a freshman, by the way, from France, had three birdies. Leonor Morderos, coming off a 79, birdied two of her first five. Alyssa Montgomery shot 1-under on the front nine, and Alize Vidal, who again entered with the best score of the Bulls, she was even on the front nine. Her score wasn't actually counting, but the Bulls were at one point nearly 10 shots clear of the field. Now, their level of play was going to come down just a little bit. Didn't come down a lot, but enough to where they did not quite wrap things up. But again, on a day where only two teams shot under par, not only were the Bulls under, they were well under at 11. Melanie Green actually bogeyed the last hole. You had two Bulls bogey the 18th and a double bogey in there just to give Tulsa a little bit of hope. Certainly this thing's not in the books, but the Bulls have a great chance to win their first conference championship in more than a decade. They won five in the Conference USA, and their last conference championship was the Big East back in 2012. That was also the last team before last year's that made the NCAA tournament. So 18 under par, Melanie Green with that five under par yesterday led the way. Alyssa Montgomery very quietly right in the middle, no bogeys, four under par 68, birdied 15 and 17 to close strong. Two other Bulls finished one under for their rounds, Medeiros and Foulcher. And overall, a chance for an individual championship as well for the Bulls. Tulsa's Lovisa Gunner is 9 under par entering the final round. Ellie Zarek of SMU, 7 under par. Green is a shot behind her in third place, tied with a player from UTSA. Foulcher, 4 under, Montgomery, 3 under, and Vidal tied for 10th at 2 under par. Yes, four Bulls in the top 10. That is usually the ingredients necessary to give you first place. 18 under entering the final round. Tulsa is 6 back. SMU is at 9 under. Don't count out the Mustangs. And East Carolina, which again, top 100 team, but is likely going to have to win the whole thing, is going to be extremely motivated. Then it drops from 5 under to UTSA at 8 over. Remember we said North Texas was a likely NCAA tournament team. Well, they're 10 over par. The Mean Green will be looking to just finish a little bit higher up. So you've got different teams playing for different things, but the Bulls, no doubt, are playing for a championship. Hopefully you can make it out. The Southern Hills Club, if you're in the Tampa area, is not a far drive up north. It's more my neck of the woods. I live in Land O'Lakes, and it's right there in Brooksville. On Friday's show, we'll give you a full preview of the men's tournament, which does begin on Friday with Steve Bradley's squad hosting. Excellent opportunity for the Bulls to pick up steam going into what we anticipate is an NCAA tournament return for them. They're actually the second highest ranked team in the conference, just inside the top 50. Then it's a drop off to teams in the 70s. So you're going to have a lot of teams playing to extend their seasons. And fortunately, it looks like the Bulls won't have to be one of those teams that need to win the conference tournament, just like the women. In addition to what's going on the courts and fields and courses this time of year and the actual competition in the spring, we'll certainly be giving you some roster updates as the portal is popping, as they say, in basketball and in football. Recently, we told you about Mama Dembele, the standout point guard from Missouri, joining Jose Fernandez's team. Amir Abdur-Rahim, very active on social media, showing you a cool video with his general, the point guard, Jaden Reed, one of the players who will be back, unfortunately, as you know. Well, it's how things are going in the world of college sports today. And Coach Amir Abdur-Rahim put it out there in so many words that maybe some coaches didn't think anything of certain players. And then all of a sudden, these players that they would not have looked twice at, they see that, whoa, they're pretty good. I would like that player now. And unfortunately, that happens. Well, it happens all over the place. But if you missed it, Chris Youngblood, who's from Tuscaloosa, so this is completely understandable, is now a member of the Final Four Alabama Crimson Tide. Selton Miguel has committed to Maryland, and obviously when Bulls are added to the roster, we'll let you know. Football officially announced Jack Whitty, who is a former junior college standout originally from Iowa, who spent last year at Colorado. So the big offensive lineman has been added to the Bulls roster of Alex Golish. You'll hear some highlights from last night's 7-5 defeat by baseball, including a go-ahead balk for the Bulls, which was very interesting. But first, the field is set for both the men and the women in tennis as far as the conference tournament. Both the Bulls teams are going to have to win the conference tournament. The reason it took a while for the women's tourney to get set is because, well, simple. The number one seed was up for grabs 2 days before the tournament. Going into Monday, Charlotte actually had the highest ranked team according to the ITA, and that is what sets the seedings for the American. Your overall record, I'm not going to say doesn't count, it counts for something. In fact, you have to be 500 to get an at-large. But in the case of seeding by the American, they go straight off the rankings, and The win by SMU. SMU hosted Memphis, both teams wanting to get not just a great match in to get you ready for conference tournament, but a rankings opportunity in. And SMU took more advantage, edging Memphis, which is the third seed. SMU jumped over Charlotte with the win. Went from 45 to 42. Charlotte is actually now 45th, and Memphis is the third ranked and seeded team at 49. Then it drops to Rice at 56 and the Bulls 61. So Rice gets the fourth seed and the double bye, and they earned it over the Bulls by beating them a couple of weekends ago in Miami. Bulls finished five spots ahead of FAU, as it turns out. Maybe you prefer the sixth seed to the five seed, not being on the half of the bracket as SMU. The Mustangs not only are hosting, but they won the championship last year with, get this, not dropping a single set in singles and winning all three matches 4-0. But Bulls will have to worry about them in a couple of days, hopefully, because they'll have to win two matches before then. Starting off Thursday, they'll get the winner of the matchup between 12th-seeded North Texas and 13th-seeded East Carolina. Both those teams ranked outside the top 125. To be, quote, ranked in the NCAA, you have to be in the top 75. And again, the Bulls are 61. But generally speaking, the bubble is right in the mid-40s. And that's what's going to make the women's tournament especially interesting, because I just talked about the computer rankings as how the seeds are set and about how you have to be a 500 team to get an at-large. Well, guess what? SMU is the number one seed. The Mustangs are 10 and 11. Charlotte has the best record in the conference, is 18 and 7. So for SMU, yeah, they've got the best number, and that's why they're the number one seed, but they have to make the final. If they win the quarters and lose in the semis, they're ineligible for the NCAA tournament. The Bulls, technically, if they make the final, will have gotten their ranking onto the bubble, but yeah, they probably have to win the whole thing, and I'm guessing that probably the two teams that make the final will be the two that go to the NCAA tournament on the women's side of things. The Bulls will be watching that East Carolina-North Texas matchup first thing Wednesday and playing the winner noon in Dallas on Thursday. If they win, they'll get SMU Friday at 9 a.m. Bulls did not play East Carolina this year. They did edge North Texas, which is 8-12. They did play them without Naja Bay Christians, who has jumped into the top two in the Bulls lineup. She is 7-4 overall, best record alongside of Gray Schumacher. Ashley Fisher's men's team has the best overall record and most titles in the American, 5 out of the 8 so far. Last one coming in 2019, and they'll have to earn this one. We've been saying it. They've lost so many close matches. They're in there with every team, including the highest-ranked teams in the conference, but they have lost 7 matches in a row, so a very dangerous number 8 seed at 9-16 playing the number 9 seed UAB on Thursday. If they win, yep, they'll get the number 1 seed, and that would be Memphis Friday at 2 o'clock. SMU is the 2 seed, FAU is the 3, and Rice the 4, all with outstanding overall records. Memphis is a lock for the NCAA tournament. SMU, FAU, and Rice will all be trying to make the final to secure their bids, and then everybody else is having to win the whole thing to make it to the NCAA. Bulls do have a win over tomorrow's opponent, 4-1, about a month ago. And they did play Memphis in Tampa in mid-February and lost by as close of a margin as you can early in the season, 4-3. And that's kind of been what's happened to the squad. And so hopefully that was all a string of disappointing outcomes so that they can turn it around in their favor. They certainly can compete with anybody in the league.